This is an ICO podcast about data protection and Brexit. I'm Kirsty Keogh and I'm joined by Steve Wood, the ICO's Deputy Information Commissioner. Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good. Let's get straight to it. The basis on which the UK will leave the EU has still to be decided. This includes any arrangements that might affect data protection rules relating to the flow of personal data. But in the event of a no-deal Brexit, can you just outline to us what's happening?
Yes, thank you, Kirsty. As you said, the outcome of Brexit is still to be decided, so we don't know the basis on which the UK will leave the EU. But we believe at the ICO it is now important for businesses to consider the implications of Brexit, including a no-deal scenario. So the background to this is that personal data has always been able to flow freely between organisations in the United Kingdom and the European Economic Area without any specific measures or requirements on those organisations when they transfer that personal data. That's because we've had that common set of rules, the GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation, and this allows a two-way flow of this personal information between those countries. However, that two-way flow of personal information will no longer be the case if the UK leaves the European Union without a withdrawal agreement in place that provides for the continued flow of personal data. In this event, the government has already made clear its intention to permit data to flow from the UK to countries in the European Economic Area. But transfers of personal data from the European Economic Area to the UK are more likely to be affected in this situation. Therefore, it will be particularly important that organisations consider how they will have a legal basis for the transfer of this personal data from the EEA countries to the UK. So they'll need to consider some alternative transfer mechanisms to maintain these data flows. We know that many organisations have already been making preparations in case the UK leaves the EU without a withdrawal agreement in place.
And the ICO is really helping, isn't it? Businesses, SMEs in particular, the ICO is helping them get ready in respect of any personal data that they're transferring. How's that happening?
Yes, we feel though that the time is right now really to provide practical advice and help and support for businesses, in particular small businesses. We're starting to get many questions from businesses and from public bodies about what they might need to do in different Brexit scenarios, including a no-deal Brexit, as we've just talked about. So we've published a range of guidance and practical tools to help organisations understand the implications and particularly to help them plan ahead. So this includes a six steps to take guide, which should particularly be a good starting point for those who are new to the topic, some broader, more detailed guidance on the effects of leaving the EU without a withdrawal agreement in place, alongside a general overview in the form of frequently asked questions.
Well, that does sound helpful, and I know that it's really easy for businesses and SMEs to get hold of that guidance. Certainly anyone that follows the ICO on Twitter or LinkedIn hopefully will already have seen a link to it, and it also features prominently on the front page of the ICO website, ico.org.uk. Can you tell me, Steve, in data protection terms, will everyone be affected by a no-deal Brexit?
No, I think it's important to remember that for many businesses, particularly small or micro businesses, who don't transfer any personal data in or out of the European Economic Area, there won't be any particular changes that they need to take note of. It's important to highlight that there will be continuity in terms of the data protection law we'll have in place. So the government's made clear that the General Data Protection Regulation that I mentioned earlier, the GDPR, that will be absorbed into UK law at point of exit. So there'll be no substantive change to all of the rules that organisations need to follow in terms of data protection law. But organisations that do rely on transfers of personal data, and as I've said already, particularly from the European Economic Area to the UK, may be affected, and there'll be certain things that those organisations need to do to make sure that they still have a legal basis for the transfers of those of that personal data.
Okay. I just now wanted to ask you to explain a couple of terms, if that's all right. So firstly, can you tell me what the term adequacy means in the context of organisations transferring personal information?
Yes, so adequacy is a term which is contained in the GDPR, and it is a mechanism by which the European Commission makes a decision that the data protection laws in a third country, so a country outside of the European Economic Area, that their data protection laws are essentially equivalent to the laws in the European Union. So, for example, under the current regime, Canada already has an adequacy decision from the European Commission. What that means is that personal data can flow from the European Economic Area to Canada without any additional requirements or measures being in place in terms of what those organisations need to do when they're transferring that personal data. Obviously, the UK, when it exits the EU, will become a third country. The government in the UK has made clear its intention to seek an adequacy decision for the adequacy decisions for the UK, but it would allow data flows from the European Economic Area and avoid the need for organisations to adopt any specific measures.
So why can't we just have an adequacy arrangement now?
Well, the point we have to highlight here is in the case of a no-deal Brexit, there wouldn't be time to get such an adequacy decision in place. Therefore, there would be a period of time when organisations would need to consider what the legal basis is for transfers of personal data from the European Economic Area to the UK and what they would need to have in place as an alternative to an adequacy decision.
Okay. And the next one I wanted to ask you to explain was standard contractual clauses. What are they and how can they help?
Yes, so standard contractual clauses are referenced in the GDPR, and essentially a pre-approved set of clauses which have been approved by the European Commission as a legal basis for transferring personal data from the European Economic Area to a third country outside of that zone. The standard contractual clauses are essentially a set of safeguards between the two organisations who are transferring the personal data, so that when the personal data leaves the European Economic Area, the protections are still in place with that data, so it is protected to an essentially equivalent standard when it actually resides with that company or organisations or that organisation outside of the European Economic Area. We've provided a straightforward interactive guide to take organisations through that process, because we know many organisations may consider that standard contractual clauses provide for the most ready solution when personal data needs to be transferred in the context of a no-deal Brexit. So we've provided that interactive guide, and that's particularly aimed at small and medium-sized organisations. It helps organisations decide if they're relevant and will actually allow them to make a decision whether they need to use them at all, and will minimise the expense of putting these in place.
And I know that guide already includes help with completing the clauses, but it's going to be developed in the next few weeks to incorporate a further online tool to help organisations generate them automatically. So tell me what happens next.
Well, the guidance we produce, we hope, will help organisations to plan ahead and to start to make decisions about what they need to do. And we know that organisations will want to make those decisions where it's very important that personal data needs to continue to flow between them and other organisations. And we at the ICO know how important the transfer and flow of personal data is in the digital economy. So we'll be providing further information as well to the small number of organisations in the UK who rely on approved binding corporate rules, or what we call BCRs, for their transfers, to explain to them how they may be affected. And the ICO is committed to help organisations understand how any future changes in data protection regulation affect them and the measures they need to put in place.
Great. And just to reiterate, you know, if anybody needs any updates, just keep in touch with the ICO through our Twitter handle at ICO News, or through our website ico.org.uk. That concludes the podcast. Thanks very much, Steve, and goodbye.
Thank you.